Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we are getting ready for a Green Bay Packers game against the Oakland Raiders this upcoming Sunday. And to kick things off, to talk about the Raiders game and other issues regarding Packers news of the day, we have a guest to kick off the show. We have Nate Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nate, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you, Brian?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. Nathan, we have to start with the Packers' drive to win the game against the New York Giants this past Sunday. What more can we say about Aaron Rodgers and the way he directed the Packers to victory?
Aaron Rodgers has been playing out-of-this-world football. The one knock that I have heard on him this year is he hadn't had that one drive where he had to come back from behind, and he made it look easy. One of the big statistics that I noticed from that game is on the passes that he threw that were beyond 10 yards to the left or the right of the field, which should be the most difficult passes a quarterback has to make, he was a perfect 12 for 12 for 207 yards. And his statistics don't do him justice in that game because he had seven players drop passes on him.
Simply amazing. I say, what more can we say about Aaron Rodgers? And there still is more to say. He is that good. Aaron Rodgers had an even better performance, kind of when you take into consideration the pressure he was getting from the Giants pass rush. Marshall Newhouse seemed to be doing pretty well in place of Chad Clifton, but Sunday wasn't one of his better games, was it?
No, Newhouse had been looking okay, but this past game was one of the worst games we have seen out of the left tackle in our 4 years of analyzing games. He allowed a sack, three hits, and five pressures last week. And on top of that, he was also doing terribly in run blocking, which usually when you see someone do bad, it's in one area of the game, but he was doing poorly in both.
That is a sad development, but at least the guys Aaron Rodgers are throwing to, the wide receivers are talents in their own right, and Jordy Nelson is in the midst of a breakout season. Is it a stretch to call Jordy Nelson Pro Bowl material?
I would definitely put Jordy Nelson in the Pro Bowl if I had the choice of picking four of the receivers. Out of all of the wide receivers in the NFL who have played at least 300 snaps, he has caught 78.7% of the passes thrown his way, which leads the league. And he also has 18.3 yards per catch, which is 7th best in the league. And typically you see a receiver do well in one of those areas and not the other. But he is one of the rare ones that is doing well in both areas.
On the other side of the football, Mike Neal has now played in 3 consecutive games for the Packers. How has he done, Nathan, since coming back from injury?
He hasn't done that well. He's basically been invisible when he's been on the field. He has played 61 snaps in pass rushing, and in that time he's only come up with one hit and one pressure, which you would expect to see a lot more in terms of that. And then in run plays, he has only been in for 12 of them, so he hasn't had that many opportunities to do much. But he did have one missed tackle without having any positive plays in the run game yet.
In terms of other guys who are kind of just, you know, getting ready, getting their legs under them, the Packers have a pair of young inside linebackers, DJ Smith and Robert Francois, stepping in for injured starters AJ Hawk and Desmond Bishop. Are the Packers missing their starters?
Yes, they're missing them. Both of the young players aren't doing that poorly, but they aren't doing as well as Bishop and Hawk had been doing. My biggest concern for both of them is that in the past game they had 2 missed tackles each, where A.J. Hawk had only had 6 missed tackles on the season, while Bishop has only had 5 missed tackles. So if they continue to miss tackles, then you'll see them hurting the defense more. But if they can step that up, then they would be fine replacements until Hawk and Bishop are healthy again.
Very interesting on the missed tackles from Hawk and Bishop. That tells you how well they were playing. In the secondary, Charlie Pepper and Morgan Burnett appeared to be at fault by giving up a couple big plays in this past Sunday's game against the Giants. How would you say they've been doing?
Morgan Burnett, I would say, has been playing very average football. It would be hard to find a player that's playing closer to average. In coverage, he's allowed 64.7% of passes that are thrown his way to be caught and has allowed 14.1 yards per catch, which is right around league average for safeties. And he has allowed 3 touchdowns, which is a little high, but he's also had 3 interceptions, which is a little high. So he's been very average also in the run game. The poor part is Charlie Pepra, who has allowed a significantly higher percentage of passes thrown his way to be caught at 70.3%. And considering he is replacing Nick Collins, who last year only allowed 41% of passes thrown his way to be caught. So that is one area that they're really hurting and missing Nick Collins.
Well, on Sunday, the Packers take on the Oakland Raiders, a team that's still in the playoff chase out in the AFC West. But they didn't have a very good showing this past week against Miami. What are your impressions on the Raiders as the Packers get set to take them on?
The Raiders, I don't think their offense will be much of a problem, assuming Darren McFadden and their rookie receiver Denarius Moore aren't playing. I haven't seen an injury report on them. But their offensive line is really weak, so Clay Matthews should have another big game. Mike Neal, if he's going to show up, this would be a chance for him to have a comeback. And B.J. Raji, who hasn't been playing as well, this is also a chance for him to have a big game. The big concern I would have for the Packers is the Raiders' defensive line. Since Cameron Wembley is one of the best pass rushers in the league, and he will be lined up right across from Newhouse on pretty much every play. And they also have a very good interior pass rush. So if Josh Sitton isn't playing, that could also hurt them. And I know in the past, one of the Packers' weaknesses when they lose games is a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and this could be one of those games where Aaron Rodgers is constantly under pressure.
Well, if you're a Packers game, at least the Packers don't lose very much. For our listeners that may not know, Nathan, can you tell them just a little bit about Pro Football Focus and where they can find it on the internet?
Sure. The website is www.profootballfocus.com. And what we do is we have different people watching a player on every play. 2 people are up and down every player on a play, where they were at the start of the play and what they did on the play. And we have another person that is doing analysis on the games. We have an intense grading scale where we grade players on every play, so we are able to come up with statistics that you can't find anywhere else on the internet on every player, not just quarterbacks and running backs and receivers. We have statistics on offensive linemen and everyone on defense other than just sacks and interceptions.
Nathan Yonke, thank you so much for joining us here on Railbird Central today, and let's do it again.
Yep, thanks for having me, and congrats to all the new Packers owners out there.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Nathan. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here on Railbird Central. I enjoy getting that unique brand of statistical analysis they provide at Pro Football Focus. It's always interesting to hear what they have to say. I especially thought stuff was great today about Aaron Rodgers and how good he was doing, and the missed tackles by the Packers inside linebackers. Just stuff you don't read about anywhere else. And welcome, thank you everybody so much for joining us here on Railbird Central. Welcome to all the new owners of the Green Bay Packers. And as I can see here, it looks like since we've started the show even, and we're just about 10 minutes old, not even, it looks like Eric Walden, Packers outside linebacker, has been charged with disorderly conduct. At least that's what it says, a comment from Vic on our live blog. So very interesting that Eric Walden has been charged with disorderly conduct. Jamie Jors on our live blog, our live blog director, thank you very much, Jamie, says Walden's next court date is the 27th. So We are kind of digesting this information right now and seeing what this may hold in the future for Eric Walden. It's hard to say, you know, whether now that he's been charged with disorderly conduct, you know, something could come down from the league. I don't know if it's going to happen in time for this game against the Oakland Raiders on Sunday. And, you know, it's the Packers themselves could decide to discipline Walden. Whether they would, we don't know. They didn't this past Sunday, coming off his jail time a previous week after the Lions game. So, you know, maybe this, the fact that he's been charged with disorderly conduct, maybe that'll change the Packers' minds a little bit. You know, I did find it interesting that in the light of this information that happened after the Lions game, Walden getting arrested and going to jail for allegedly, domestic abuse of his live-in girlfriend, I believe, and well, now being charged with disorderly conduct. You know, I thought heading into the Giants game that he might split a little bit of time with Frank Zombo at outside linebacker. That seemed to be the way the Packers were heading, you know, earlier this season. When Zombo was healthy, he would rotate with Walden. And this past game, Walden has been healthy, or I'm sorry, Zombo was healthy. He was active for the game, but didn't play a single snap. Not one snap. Even on special teams, Frank Zombo did not play this past week. And you know, I thought just in the light, at least, even though the Packers didn't, you know, discipline Eric Walden at all, I thought that they would at least rotate time with Frank Zombo just in case something did happen like this. You know, all of a sudden, Walden is charged with disorderly conduct, and who knows, now maybe the league suspends him for maybe even just one game. I don't know what'll happen here. I can only speculate. But I thought they'd try to get Frank Zombo a little bit of playing time just in case, you know, keep him fresh, keep him, you know, gain him some experience if Walden has to miss some time, and perhaps just a little bit of a punishment to Eric Walden, making him share snaps, just to think about his actions, perhaps, and, kind of a way to a reminder that you should not get involved in these types of situations, walk away from it if necessary. You know, I was not there, and I don't want to say too much, but Walden obviously here was charged with disorderly conduct, and now he has the burden of proving that's not the case. So we wait until the next trial, apparently December 27th, shortly after Christmas. Merry Christmas, Eric Walden. Wow. Not something I'd want to be dealing with. But anyhow, that's the unfortunate sad news of the morning. But we do have a lot of good news in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Like I said before, as our guest Nathan Yonke said, welcome to all the new owners of the Green Bay Packers. And fantastic that everybody can own a share of the current reigning world champion Green Bay Packers. Yesterday, the Packers setting up shop, basically, selling shares of the team for the first day of sales occurred yesterday. The Packers unveiled a new website, PackersOwner.com, to sell shares online, and they sold 1,600 shares within the first 10 minutes of going on sale, and I think I saw somewhere that the Packers had sold 23,000 shares in the first 2 hours, something like that, somewhere in that realm. If I saw a tweet from Mike Vandermaas of the Green Bay Press Gazette, if I remember correctly. But yeah, so it the sales are underway. They extend all the way to the end of February. So if you haven't gotten one already, make sure to get it. And you know, I just wanted to take a chance here, though, to say how silly the criticism is of people who buy shares. And I feel that we've gone through this before, probably back when the sale was first announced that the Packers would be doing it. And, you know, had I been alive or old enough in previous times that they've sold shares back in 1997, I think was the last time. And I can't remember the last time they sold shares before that. But anyway, it's, you know, you see criticism popping up a little bit here and there of buying Packers stock and criticizing the people who buy Packers stock because it's silly, because there is no return on investment. And I just shake my head at it and think to myself, everybody is aware of that. Everybody knows that Green Bay Packers stock is worthless. The people who pay the $250 plus the $25 shipping and handling fee are well aware of that. They are well aware of it. They know what they're getting into. They know it holds very few honors. That there's little you get in return. You do get to go to the annual shareholders meeting, for which tens of thousands of people show up for. That they like that. They enjoy it. They get access to a personal line of clothing for shareholders only. And they get to vote on matters which, you know, for the most part are, you know, not very, the votes mean very little because most of them are done by proxy. And basically the organization gives suggestions on who to vote for. But regardless, if there were anything perhaps serious that would come up in the organization, a once-in-a-lifetime matter where, you know, there is a big problem, then votes perhaps would become a little more important. So, but, you know, it's just silly for people, you know, that you know, have this backlash. I'm reading right here the comment from Kyle Cousineau. What I absolutely love about the backlash from yesterday from other teams' fans and media members, we know what the hell we're buying. Exactly. The reason Packers fans do this is because they know the history behind it. They know that back in the 50s, I believe, it took a stock sale to save this franchise from folding, from moving, from not existing. That was necessary back then. And I know a lot of people probably listening to the show and just people in general, you know, maybe weren't alive in that time period. I know I wasn't, but we know the history. We know that the stock sale saved this team. And you know what? If you're not a fan of the Packers, you're not going to get it. If Packer fans, the people who are buying shares of stock in the team, they are emotionally invested in this team. This is professional sports. This is not high school. This is not college sports. If you want to succeed in professional sports, you better have something like this. You better do something like this, especially for a team that's in the smallest media market of all professional sports. Think about that. There are things Green Bay, Wisconsin has to do if you don't live in a place like New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. It's a little bit harder to raise money in a place like Green Bay. They don't have Jerry World. They don't have the Dallas Cowboys Stadium to bring in money like the Cowboys do. They don't have media markets and media deals like the New York Giants do and the New York Jets do out in New York. And all the millions upon millions of people who live in that market. This is the way the Packers remain viable. This is the way they stay a franchise so fans in Wisconsin can enjoy their team. They don't have to worry about the Packers moving. You sit here and you look at the team to the west, the Minnesota Vikings, who have this decrepit stadium, and it's an annual, daily debate about where they may move next. The Jacksonville Jaguars recently getting a new owner, talking about where they may move next. Packer fans don't want to have to worry about that, and this is why they do it. Yes, the franchise is sustainable right now. The Packers, aren't going to move anywhere. But they know a time back in the early part of this century, in the 2000s, when it was a little bit more up in the air before they renovated Lambeau Field. And they needed to renovate Lambeau Field. It took a public vote to renovate that stadium, bring in new sources of income, and keep this team relevant. And what the Packers are doing now, it's just maintaining the status quo. Nobody's holding a gun to anybody's head to buy stock. You don't have to do it. If you don't want to do it, fine. I won't say a word. I won't criticize people for not buying stock. In my case, personally, I'm not buying stock. But you know what? I got a feeling that it is going to be a Christmas present of mine. Not that that's guaranteed. But I do have this general sense from family that Christmas present is going to be... I'm going to be a Packers owner very shortly. I might be already and I don't know it. But... personally, myself, I can't afford it. I probably wouldn't be buying stock if it wasn't, for being a gift. I just can't afford it. And I can't criticize anybody for doing the same thing. They'll probably have another chance to do it in a decade from now anyhow. You miss this one, you'll get another chance. The Packers aren't going to go anywhere because of this. Because of this, they are becoming sustainable. Packers, with this money, they're going to upgrade Lambeau Field, make it bigger, create a bigger stadium, which in turn brings in more revenue. They're adding high-definition jumbotrons. You don't want to be the last team in the NFL to not have, jumbotrons. The Packers don't want to be that team. They want to stay ahead of the curve, and this is how they're staying ahead of the curve, by selling stock. And the people who want to invest in it, great. They are now part owner of the NFL, of an NFL franchise. And enjoy it. I mean, it doesn't bring you anything, but it kind of brings you your own little personal satisfaction about this unique team that is owned by the public. And, Packer fans understand that. I think most fans everywhere understand it. I just don't get the criticism. I have one more rant for the day, and I only have so much time to get this in here in our half-hour-long episodes of Railbird Central. But I left a link to it in this morning's Packers Daily Links. It kind of got me going a little bit this morning. There's a column in today's Green Bay Press Gazette by Pete Doherty about the Packers passing game and how cold weather may or may not affect it. And here's my rant, is that if you think that cold weather affects passing games, if you think you have to run in cold weather, get with the times. And by all means, first of all, I will say that Pete Doherty's column in the Green Bay Press Gazette is very fair. I think he outlines it pretty well, saying that cold weather has a very small effect on the game. Very small. Not big at all. You know, certainly there is, you know, you have to be cognizant of it, you know, but the effect is small. You know, people, they have to perhaps concentrate a little bit more when their hands are cold and they got to catch those passes. But you know what? It doesn't have an effect. Cold weather, I've been watching football for years. In January at Lambeau Field, I've seen Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers chuck the ball all over the field, and cold weather really hasn't stopped them. I'll sit here, and even though the Packers lost the game, I'll remember the long pass in the 2007 NFC Championship game, the loss to the Giants, unfortunately, but it happened right in front of me. Brett Favre threw that pass to Donald Driver. You know, how long was that? 50-some yards, you know, to get deep in Giants territory. And like I said, the Packers lost the game, but I mean, you know, big plays like that can happen in the cold, and it was freezing that game. It was right around zero, and the wind chill was negative 23, something like that. And that does not stop teams in today's day and age. Now what can stop teams from passing the ball in cold weather is if it's accompanied by wind or sloppy conditions. But you know what? It doesn't even matter what the temperature is. If it's really windy, you can go back and think of some matchups against the Chicago Bears in the Windy City at Soldier Field. Games that have been played in October that have been mighty windy. That'll affect a passing game. But that doesn't have anything to do with the temperature. And if there's sloppy conditions like rain, heavy rain, like downpour rain, or snow, or, you know, like sloppy, wet snow, yeah, that'll affect the passing game. It's times like that that, you know, you do have to rely on the run game. And again, it's not like one team only is affected. Like the Packers are going to be affected by this and their opponent isn't. You know, if it's, you know, kind of a sloppy conditions, you know, the other team's got to deal with that too. You know, terrible footing conditions where they might slip. You know, it's not going to affect one team only. And you know, I kind of looked at it, and when the Packers have these, you know, these games where, you know, it is windy or sloppy, they really only come around once every 5 years. You know, just extreme conditions like that, wind and slop, really once every 5 years. Not to say that's a hard and fast rule, but they don't happen all that often. So what I'm saying is if you're of the antiquated notion that the Packers can't pass in the cold and all of a sudden their running game has to get better to win, it's not going to happen. They can win playing the exact same brand of football they do right now. They do have to run probably a little bit better. As Pete Doherty points out in his article at the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Packers have run a little bit in the cold weather months, December, January. You know, they run a little bit more historically. And obviously you would like them to run better. It's not like anybody wants the Packers to have a poor run game, but it's just not their forte. You know, all the talent the Packers have is at quarterback and the receiver positions. At least that's where their best talent is at. Question here from Brad Stanley on the live blog. When can we say that the Lambeau mystique is back like it was in the late 90s and early 2000s? Yeah, you know, kind of interesting. In the late 90s, early 2000s, Lambeau did have this mystique where the Packers were playing very well. And then for a while, in the not-so-recent past, kind of went away a little bit. Packers hadn't done quite as good at Lambeau Field. But I'll tell you what will change people's minds is the playoffs. The Packers are going to have, more than likely, two home games this playoffs. The Packers are going to have, they're going to host the divisional round. And then they're going to host the NFC Championship game. And, you know, that could turn the tide back to being the Lambeau mystique. You know, if they win those games, yeah, Lambeau Field's going to become this place that's going to be hard for an opponent to come in and win. So that's what's really going to turn the tide and getting people talking about the Lambeau mystique again, the playoffs. And the stretch run here. Remember, the Packers have played three out of their next four games at home just in the regular season. So what are we looking at here? If the Packers qualify for the Super Bowl, heck, even if they didn't, even if they lost in the NFC Championship game, just hypothetically, they're going to have this game against the Raiders at home, Christmas Day against the Bears at home, Detroit Lions on New Year's Day at home, divisional round, and then NFC Championship game. That's five games at Lambeau Field over the course of the next 2 months. Possibly five out of their next six games. Almost guaranteed. As long as the Packers just keep taking care of business and get home field advantage like they're expected to. So yeah, with five out of the next six games and the Packers going to be favored for every single one of them, and as long as they take care of business, yeah, the Lambeau mystique's coming back. Because you can see it now. I can see in late January the stats. You know, add five more wins onto these statistics that break down how the Packers perform at home, how they perform in the playoffs, how they perform in the playoffs at Lambeau Field. Add five more wins to that. Yeah, the Lambeau mystique's going to be back. At least that's what Packer fans are hoping. Getting ready for an Oakland Raiders game this weekend at Lambeau Field. Packers taking on Oakland. What do you think? Yeah, you know, I said this before. I thought when the Raiders traded for Carson Palmer, I thought they'd be, you know, wow, this is a team that's going to have a shot to win their division and be a factor. But you know, maybe not. That loss to the Miami Dolphins kind of exposed them a little bit. And their previous win was against the Chicago Bears. And without Jay Cutler, the Bears, that win isn't looking too good. Brad Stanley asks in the live blog, Bush is going to be tough. He is. Michael Bush, their running back, he's good. McFadden, is he going to play? McFadden, from what I've heard, is not expected to play. Not expected to play this weekend, so the Packers don't have to worry about Darren McFadden. That's not helping the Raiders. They need him. He's good. Love Darren McFadden. I really do like him. I think he's a talented running back. And anyhow, thank you everybody so much for joining us here on Railbird Central this morning. Make sure to come back and check us out again. And check out our coverage all week long here at Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this morning. Thank you, Jamie Jors, our live blog director, for making sure everybody's comments are coming through. Thank you to Nathan Yonke of Pro Football Focus for joining us for an interview. And take care, everyone. Have a good day. And to all the new owners of the Green Bay Packers, go Pack Go. See you later, everyone. I'm leaving you with a song called Sometimes a River from String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See you, everyone.